Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey. I'm a roll on a honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Let's see what we can tell you that you don't already know. That's right, because you have tuned in to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Thanks so much for being with us here tonight. We really do appreciate you being out there. Got another big show lined up for you tonight. A lot of breaking news out there. News probably, well, I can say it, at least in one case, I'm pretty sure you haven't heard anywhere before. Yep. But we got a lot to talk about tonight, and so hopefully you'll stick around the whole 2 hours here. All right, let me go around the table and introduce the cast today. And, of course, the man of the hour, the union boss, the economist.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Pro football player Mike McBride. Bath is on the show today.
Chris, I have to tell you, it's been a wonderful weekend. You know, now let's review this very quickly. Penn State won, my alumnus.
Yeah.
Then we move on to the Bills. The Bills won, are still in the hunt.
In fine
style.
The
best part of about it was the Dolphins beat the 49ers, and the biggest fool in the field was Kaepernick. And I love that, you know, he makes that comment about Castro a couple days before Castro cashes out, right?
Yeah.
And then here's Kaepernick going to enter the end zone to win the game, and he gets tackled and loses. And guess who tackled him? The son of an immigrant from Cuba. Is that poetic justice at its finest?
It is indeed. It is
only
indeed.
Football can deliver that message. You know?
All right. That other laughter you heard, of course, is from the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, distinguished military veteran and hero. And that is, of course, Colonel Danny McKnight. Colonel, once again, great to see you again.
Happy to be here. I wish I could do it more than twice a month.
So do we. So do we. And so do our listeners, too, by the way. I hear this all the time.
I love it.
When's Colonel going to be back on the show? He'll be back on the show soon. But what about me? No, really, I'm serious. So we appreciate every minute that you can be on the show with us today. And we're going to be talking some football with you, too. FSU won sort of the state crown, if nothing else, right? I mean,
hey, last 4 years, 4-0 against Miami. 4-0 against Florida.
Yes, sir.
That's an unusual treat right there.
And in college football, I mean, that's about as big as it gets, really, when you think about it. It's interstate rivalries.
But I know how much Florida and Florida State, you know, sort of dislike each other, you know, whether that's superficial or not. But you know what? The best thing for you is just to watch Florida against Alabama this weekend. This is going to be a nightmare.
I mean,
realistically, Florida has no offense at all.
And I love that part, too. Florida.
I know. I mean, I could honestly see a spread of 21 points, you know, betting. Wouldn't you think so, Dan?
Yeah, I think it went up. I think it went
you think it's
26,
like
I think.
26?
I think.
Can you imagine that in a championship game?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is, at least they have a decent defense. So
we'll see.
We still got 31 on them.
You got to remember what Michigan.
Alabama has got some big boys.
Now, you remember last year, Michigan ran up close to 50 points on Florida. And has Florida played anybody? Look how bad Tennessee is. They're horrible.
I know. Everybody thought they were going to be so good.
They're
Vanderbilt
horrible.
Closed the season
and Vanderbilt,
out.
Did you see that? Yeah.
Next year they'll schedule Fordham. You know, so we'll see.
All right, we're going to be talking a little football during the show here tonight. It is championship weekend for college football, not the overall championship, but the conference.
Well, it sets the format for the championship.
Exactly.
It really is a big deal.
Conference championships, and guess what? One of them is going to be right here in town, and we're going to be talking about that and why it is here in town a little bit later on.
Yeah, for the wrong reason.
Yeah, it always somehow seems to come back to politics, right?
Yep.
All right, we are
are. Here we are live as usual, so feel free to give us a call at 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, there's... as I said, there's some breaking news out there. Some of it is semi. We'll call it semi-breaking news. Donald Trump has named a couple of more cabinet appointees today. He named Elaine Chao,
right,
to be the Secretary of... all of a sudden, it's escaped my mind.
Secretary of Secretaries. No. She'll do a good job, whatever it is.
Let me pull
it'll be on that, right?
There's been so many.
I know.
The
Secretary
one was housing and urban development, you know, the HUD and, you know, right, education, and I just can't keep up with them either, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to get my notes out here, and then we'll double-check on Elaine Chao. She was one of the picks here today. Pardon me. And the other pick is going to be the head of HHS, and he's a doctor from actually the Atlanta area.
That's Price, who is absolutely very appropriate, very good. Okay. He's going to come put forth what we want.
All right. Elaine Chao, Secretary of Transportation. I don't know why that slipped my mind, because we were thinking maybe John Mica might end up in that position, mm-hmm, since he was voted out in this last election. And he was a Trump loyalist.
Right.
I know on the show a number of times we asked him about Trump, and he supported Trump. As a matter of fact, he worked with Trump on that project in Washington, D.C., where they turned that old post office, I believe it was, mm-hmm, into a luxury hotel up there. And he was impressed with the way Trump was able to do what he promises and even do better than that. So now the Elaine Chao, Secretary of Transportation, is in no way controversial or anything like that. But Tom Price, Democrats are going to kick up a fuss over.
Well, he's a hardline anti-Obamacare.
Well, he's a very conservative guy. He's mm-hmm a doctor.
Right.
All right. So it makes a little sense to have a doctor, someone who's a doctor. And by the way, I believe he comes from a family of doctors, if I'm not mistaken, in the Atlanta area up there in Georgia. And he's also liked on both sides of the aisle. He's got a great, evidently, great sense of humor,
mm-hmm,
which goes a long way in, prickly situations, if used correctly. And he's known as being a real smart guy. He's on, but here, then this is once again why the Democrats fear him as much as anything else.
Right. He wants to dismantle this. This isn't going to be with tender gloves.
Right.
This is going to rip this thing apart, which is going to cause some great animosity and consternation among the Obama fans.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Because he has been a huge opponent of Obamacare, and being a doctor, I'm sure he's got some notions as to exactly how things should be done. So that's encouraging from people who supported Trump's standpoint, because it appears as though he's certainly going to follow through on his promise of dismantling, rebuilding, whatever, however you want to call it, the health care system in this country.
One thing he did touch on, is he did threaten a little bit Medicare. You know, which puts a little bit of a chill into the back of many Americans.
Well, I don't know if threaten.
I don't want to say threaten.
Yeah, because
we'll say revamp and update.
Well,
I hope
he is a supporter of giving states block grants. In other words, mm-hmm, giving a big old hunk of money, kind of like we gave the Iranians for the hostages. Remember?
Right.
All right, but the federal government would give the states block grants based on how many people in that state are on Social Security and it's not Social Security, but it would be Medicare and Medicaid. And not Social Security, but Medicare and Medicaid. And the states would administer those programs rather than the federal government. All right, so the people would still be getting Medicare and Medicaid, but it would be implemented by the state government rather than the federal government.
Have you ever looked at your Medicare statement? You know, a lot of people never look at it. And I looked at mine, and you know, it was like I paid in $253,000 over, 45-whatever years, right?
Yeah.
Multiply that at 3%, you know. I would say realistically, you know, because it didn't go in at one hunk, but realistically it should be probably $700,000.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that should pretty much take care of me, I would think. But what happens to most of the American people, you know, they've been absolutely ransacked by both parties,
yep,
and now they come up with a cure to show me how I can get it better. hey, just give me my money. I can take care of myself with $700,000 extra.
Amen to that.
And that's what's happened to so many people.
Well, that would be the next step further away from the federal government is you would even take it out of the state's hands and put it in the individual's hands in the individual accounts. And certainly that is one of the elements of a solution to Obamacare is to empower people with their own money by having these health savings accounts. And the way I understand it is you would either put your own money in it, you get a tax deduction for it, which is the way it used to be. And for those who can't afford to put their own money in it, the government puts the money in it. And so it, it becomes a sort of like a voucher that you can then use to purchase health care with.
I think it would be more simplistic. I think you could have more competition with all the firms, insurance firms out there bidding to try to get all this money. That you work through vouchers and payments.
Right. So. And then people could buy catastrophic health care like they used to be able to, dirt cheap.
Right.
Which is the way it should be. So big changes are ahead, at least with the medical care system in the country, I'm pretty sure, with this pick Tom Price. But as I said, he's going to, you know, there's going to be some battles before he gets approved by, confirmed, I should say, by the Senate. We also have some other big news having to do with some Marines who have been killed in Afghanistan. Yeah, we're still in a war in Afghanistan. Of course, you wouldn't know it hearing anything coming out of the White House. Before we take a break, though, Roger is on the line, the first caller up tonight. Roger, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Hey, Clyde. I trust you had a blessed Thanksgiving Day weekend. We just wanted to let you know how much we missed you, and I'm so glad you're back to take us into the Christmas holidays.
Roger, did you eat a lot?
Well, of course we did.
Oh, that's what I thought, Roger. You know?
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and and believe me, we missed it too. But got some things done this weekend that I'd been putting off, needed to get done, and so. But we're ready and raring to go, and take this thing.
Rock and roll, and keep us up to date on everything.
You got it, my friend.
Sure,
you got
sure
it.
We do appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's what we try to do every day. We try to give you information that you need and stuff you're not going to find anywhere else. Yeah. Thank you so much, Roger.
Keep it all fun at the same time.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. God bless you. Appreciate you being out there. All right. When we come back on the other side of the break, wanted to get into some foreign policy issues, if you will, including the Somali terrorist attack yesterday at Ohio State University. You guys were talking about Urban Meyer just a minute ago. Going to talk about that, and going to talk about these 12 Marines. 12 Marines killed in Afghanistan?
In the last 4 days.
All right, so please stick around for more of the American Adversaries. We will be right back.
Please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123. 877-377-8123 or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife Jana own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
Looks like your rush hour so far, at least on I-4, is pretty good. Eastbound delays from John Young Parkway to Ivanhoe. Fairbanks up to 436, starting to get slow at the bridge, too. On the westbound side, delays from Ivanhoe to Turnpike, slow at the beach line, and heavy past 192 now. If you're headed to the airport on 436, good luck. Colonial Drive all the way down. It's heavy both directions, actually. And heavy traffic on 1792 from Fairbanks up to Lee Road. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. The name of that tune is Searching. So if you're out there searching for the truth, searching for information, you are in the right place because we have it right here every day on the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show and Sunday night too, by the way, which we call our three-hour classic tour. I am Christopher Hart, along with Michael McBath. We also have Colonel Danny McKnight, the commanding general, by the way, of the American Adversaries Army, which you too can be a member of by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and go to the recruiting office and sign up. Colonel McKnight, let's start with the news out of Afghanistan, because it was news to me, the number that you came in here with tonight. And so I'm pretty sure it's probably news to a lot of our listeners out there, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them. Tell us what has been going on recently in Afghanistan.
Well, what was reported that I received by an email today, and I think it to be very accurate, especially when it comes from a VFW post, because they keep up with that kind of stuff, the VFW American Legion. They
right.
take care of, you know, that. And it said that in Afghanistan that we have lost 12 Marines in 4 days. It didn't say the last 4 days, but in 4 days we have lost 12 Marines in Afghanistan, of which we have heard nothing about that on the news or anything coming out of the White House about that.
Right.
And that really bothers me because it tells me they're trying to cover it up to not make things look bad. The oldest of the 12, two of them were 29 years old. The youngest, three of them, were 21 years old. And that's the young Americans that we're losing because they're not getting what they need to do the job.
And these were all from the same Marine battalion?
Same unit, yes. The 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines.
And, of course, they don't even want us to be thinking, talking, doing anything about Afghanistan, right? That was, that's supposed to be fine and dandy over there. And, of course, we pulled all our troops out of Iraq, and now we got half of them back in there.
But not doing any fighting. They're just sort of there, you know. But think about Afghanistan, what you just said. We're talking about 12 Marines. What happened just a short time ago at Bagram?
That's what I'm wondering if the four, what Colonel McKnight just referred to, Bagram Air Force Base, about 2.5 weeks ago,
right.
There was an IED that went off at Bagram Air Force Base, killed four Americans.
Yes.
Now, two of them were in the military and probably two of the Marines. Two of them were contract workers.
That's right.
Like the guys at 13 Hours that were working for the CIA, Chris Tonto and Dig and all those guys, Tig, I mean.
Yeah.
So from 13 Hours. So we're talking about 10 Marines who have been killed, that there's been nothing, virtually nothing at all, in any media sources to report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you remember when George W. Bush, of course, was president, we got a nightly update.
Yes.
Right? Kind of like the old Vietnam days, right?
Yep.
You know, killed, wounded, and such as that. And this is big because this indicates that there are serious problems yet to be dealt with in Afghanistan.
And we don't have the numbers there that we should have. We've talked about that previously on the show many times. Under 10,000, you know, American soldiers there. And that's not 10,000 fighters, okay, or 9 or 8. I mean, you got support people. So how many real fighters do we have on the ground over there? Maybe 5,000, 6,000? That'd be my guess, just a guess. You know?
And what happens as you lower those numbers in terms of the risk to the military, the individuals left there?
The risk goes gigantically high, and the bad guys know it, and they will take advantage of that.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing happen right now, in my opinion.
And unfortunately, in Afghanistan, like in Iraq, like in Somalia, the bad guys actually outnumber us, do they not?
Oh, absolutely. Just about every time, because we're not doing the right thing.
Large numbers, they outnumber us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about in terms of people.
That's right.
Individuals.
Exactly.
We might have the better weaponry, the better armor, and all that sort of thing, but they got the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of the problem in the movie 13 Hours.
Right?
Yep.
And if you remember in American Sniper, when Chris Kyle finally killed his arch nemesis over there, they were attacked because he had given away their position, and it was the numbers that was the threat. They're using small arm firearm. I call it small arms, AK-47s. But if you got 1,000 AK-47s going up against 10 Marines, eventually the Marines are going to run out of ammunition if they don't get backed up or get out.
Yeah, well,
and that's what we have put our military. They're sitting ducks, in other words, over there.
And Bill Clinton did it in 1993.
He did indeed.
Because we were outnumbered, I don't know, 10 to 1 probably would be a good ratio.
I mean, really, aren't all the villages, in essence, Taliban? Meaning, you know, you guys are walking around, you got all these people, it's a citizens' army that unfortunately is brainwashed, and you're the victim.
That's right.
And you don't know who is friend or foe.
No,
that's right.
That's the biggie.
And even your friends might look at you in fear, so they may appear to be a threat.
Yes.
So it is a very difficult situation. And, of course, in Somalia, the equalizer would have been
AC-130 gunship.
Yeah.
Or the other 101 that we didn't get to take with us.
Men that were supposed to be there.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
And
that's what I'm afraid is happening right now, Chris, in all honesty. When you see 12 Marines killed over a four-day period, that tells me we are not at an advantage right now in terms of numbers.
No.
You know, we have great firepower, but if you don't have numbers, I don't care how much firepower you got. You need numbers.
Right.
And I don't think we have that.
Yeah. And it's an outrage that the media is not reporting this.
Isn't it?
Telling us all about these brave Marines and how they were killed.
That's right.
And this is what they're supposed to do. Presumably, they will start doing it on January the 20th when Trump takes office. I've always said, if you want the media to do their job, elect Republicans, because they'll never do it with Democrats, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is just an example of that. Meantime, Barack Obama has made an announcement today concerning special forces, right?
Yep. He is saying that the special operations community, like CENTCOM or, you know, U.S. SOCOM, technically, the special operations community, that he's letting them sort of have carte blanche to go do whatever they think needs to be done. Are you kidding me? You know?
I mean,
first thing is, why didn't he do it 7 years ago?
Right.
That's the first biggie. And the other thing is, what kind of guidance is that coming from the commander in chief? I mean, now, if he wants to just shut up and get out of the way and let the generals take over, then we'd be fine.
Right.
The problem is too many of those generals have had to deal with him, and they know they've had their hands tied up to now. But now here we are, less than 2 months away from him leaving?
Oh, yeah.
And he's making this kind of decision? My gosh. It just shows how absolutely idiotic he is and doesn't have a real concern about the military.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
All he's trying to do here is he's politically motivated. He's trying to get the jump on Trump,
yeah,
if you will. I'll tell you what I mean after the break.
Isn't that called political correctness?
This is Mark Merrill, former WWE Intercontinental Wrestling Champion. You are listening to the American Adversaries on WORL, AM 660, and FM 105.5. You better tune in, or it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, thanks so much for being with us. You got the American Adversaries. We are here. We are live until 7 p.m. And you can be a part of the show at 407-774-8255. Christopher Hart here, along with Michael McBath and Colonel Danny McKnight. And before we went to the break, we were talking about Barack Obama has announced finally, as he's going out the door, that he's going to let the special ops forces basically take care of business as they see fit, which is, I think he's just trying to get the jump on Trump because he sees that Trump is hiring a bunch of generals, consulting with even more of them, and is going to change the way business is done at the Pentagon. And I think he just kind of wants to take credit. Yeah. I was there first, right? Yeah. So,
like the economy, right? He built our economy, right?
Right. Yeah. If Trump really turns the economy around, yeah, guess who's going to be there? Say, I set it all up. He couldn't have done it without me. Right. I saved us. Remember, 2008. Mm-hmm. We were going over the cliff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, we around here are the compassionate sort, and we have huge hearts. And we are often, and no pun intended there, we are oftentimes trying to help out those amongst us who we deem need a little bit of assistance. Like recently, mm-hmm, we offered some suggestions that Hillary Clinton might take up in terms of what she could do with herself, especially over these next few months as she's dealing
with 100 days. We're concerned about that.
Right. And
like right now, I'm very concerned about Barack Obama's. Where is he going to be in the next 10 years? I myself don't look at him as any great intellect. So I am very concerned about Brockster, his beautiful wife, and his two kids, Sasha and Masha, or whoever they are, right?
Yeah, Malia.
Oh, that's it. Malia, I thought it was Masha. Sasha, Masha, who cares? No,
right.
But the reality of it is, where are they going to be 10 years from now? And what we want is for our contest is our listeners to call in and tell us, where do you think they'll be based upon his great intellect, his ability to motivate a nation, you know, his golf game? Well, here's where I think he'll be. Now, you tell us, because this is what we want to hear Thursday. I personally think that Brock will probably be in Tahiti with his boyfriend, because him and Michelle are going to get divorced. He'll be with Anderson Cooper and Caitlin.
I believe
Michelle will have returned to Africa, you know, looking for the roots. I really believe that. And then where do I think these two little kids will be? Masha, Sasha, Blasha, whatever. I believe they'll probably be in a crack house in South Chicago their father's footstep of being a dope addict while in college.
That's cruel.
That is cruel. No, I mean, I hope this isn't how it turns out. But, I mean, this is the contest. We need to know where do you think this family of leaders will be.
Yeah, I guess you can consider this, if you will, a bit of a warning to them. If they stay on the liberal track where they
are. That's right. Where will they end up? They'll end up right back where he started, in Chicago, right?
Yep, there you go. It's the 10 years. So anyway, that'll be our contest for Thursday. Where do you think the Obamas will be in 10 years, all right?
You know where Barack's going to be?
Where?
He's going to be in Hawaii still hunting his birth certificate.
Oh, that's a good one. Danny, that's a winner, buddy. Yeah.
We ain't found it yet.
Yeah. Seeking his lineage, right? All right, so that'll be our contest. Thursday will be the contest night. Once again, this week we're back on schedule and should be for a while with that anyway. And you'll be, once again, playing for some great prizes.
Dino.
And Dino Rito Studios. Yeah. By the way, they're going to be in Thursday. They'll help us judge the contest.
Good.
And of course, if you got any decoration ideas, any decoration needs, you need to check out Dino Rentos Studios, and they're going to be able to help you out, and they'll be able to do it within your budget. You know, this is being the season that we celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Right.
A lot of people like to have the nativity scene,
right,
and they make beautiful nativity scenes, and it can be either three-dimensional or it could be the cardboard cutouts.
Are we getting a cardboard cut out, in all seriousness, of Trump. Right, yeah. That's what I thought, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have him standing right beside us
every day. We'll have to have a ceremony, you know.
Make it official.
Right up by Ronald.
That's right. Yeah. By Ronald.
But the one thing, though, Chris, these people, you know, anybody for presence, this is so unique if you have kids playing high school sports or college sports that do that with one of their pictures.
And what he's talking about is
they'll never forget that. Do a cutout. Right, because he'll take the picture, and then he'll do a life-size cutout. It is so unique, you'll never forget it. So
that's right.
That's what the may have. Ugh,
and the person you give it to will be tickled to death.
They'll be so thrilled.
All right. And, of course, they can do just about a lot. They can do literally anything over there at Dino Rento Studios. You can give them a call at 800-704-7089. Just listen for the commercial, 800-704-7089. And, like I say, they Christmas decorations. And, by the way, right after Christmas is New Year's. You're going to be throwing a New Year's Eve party. They can help you decorate for that.
Yeah.
And once again, they can do this on a shoestring budget. Or if you want to spend big, they can help you do that, too.
Yeah.
So, Dino Rentos.
Danny's getting a cutout of the Florida State head coach, in case you didn't know that.
There's only one.
I'm good with that. Yeah, right.
Look at that.
There's only one Florida State head coach, and his last name is Bowden, right?
Good old Bobby.
You bet. That's right. And you'll also get, of course, the $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano and a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats. And who knows? We may even find something else to stick in the prize package
as well.
You've
been very liberal headed toward this Christmas vacation and everything.
I like to call it generous.
You've been a wonderful guy. You know?
I like to call it generous.
And the great thing this year, we're all going to say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and not Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Things are changing, that's for sure. That aside, that'll be Thursday. We were talking about the deaths of these 12 Marines in Afghanistan, and the VFW has put out a prayer request, so I want to read the prayer request for you folks, because I know a lot of you out there, I hope all of you, but I know a lot of you out there pray and on a regular basis, so please include this, and I'll just read it as it's written. We are asking everyone to say a prayer for Dark Horse, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and their families. They are fighting it out in Afghanistan, and they have lost 12 Marines in 4 days. So it would be nice if you pray for them and spread the message around for the Dark Horse, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and their families. And, of course, the rest of that battalion is still over there.
Yes.
Fighting.
Fighting right now.
Yeah. And just take note of how this is written. They are fighting it out in Afghanistan. It's still a hot war over there, you know, and the media treats it like it doesn't even exist.
Yeah. Yeah, tell the families of those 12 that it's not
a big
deal.
They just have to be so undermanned.
They are.
I mean, it's just like a suicide mission without having a competent amount of troops with you and everything.
Right. And there's another side to not, and basically what we're talking about is that we have been fighting this war, how should I say, with kit gloves on.
Right.
We were just talking about the rules of engagement, the three of us, and how they need to change for us to be able to win this war. And by the way, General Mattis, who is up for, it looks like, Secretary of Defense, has said that. He hasn't said how they will change, but he has said clearly that the rules of engagement need to change. And by the way, if you remember when we had General Vallely on a couple of weeks ago, he said the same thing. And that is key to being able to win these wars and defeat the enemy. If you are not allowing our military to take care of business, it's going to draw it out. And it's going to extend the pain beyond, how should we say, the theater of action. Which brings us to Ohio State University yesterday. The first thing I thought about when I found out, and Mike showed me, we were in a meeting yesterday afternoon, Mike showed me, he got a text, that it was revealed that the terrorist that ran these people over, and it turned out to be 11 they put in a hospital. We thought it was 9 yesterday. It turned out to be 11 that he ran over and then was cutting up with a butcher knife, was from Somalia.
Were you surprised?
No, but the first thing I thought about was Colonel McKnight.
Right.
Because, of course, you were over there in 1993, and Barack Obama, but Bill Clinton pulled you guys out of there and wouldn't let you finish the job.
That's correct. Yep.
And actually, what became known as Black Hawk Down was a mission where we put a pretty good whooping on the enemy. Now, we took some
casualties, yes.
Yeah, and you showed me the windshield in your car.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could show you this windshield. At radio, obviously, we can't. But it was literally shot. I mean, I can't say shot full of holes, but it had a lot of impacts where AK-47 rounds had hit it, and one had actually penetrated it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And it just so happened that it would have, I guess, passed over your left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would have killed you because it would hit you right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we didn't finish the job there. But what we did do while you were there, and probably before and after you were there, we made some friends in Somalia. Right?
Yeah, a few.
Yeah. And then, but lo and behold, they got to get out of town because the other side finds out they're friends of America or knew while you were there they were helping you out or something like that. So they're threatened now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in there and we start hauling Somalis out of Somalia, right? And relocating them to the United States of America. And they start, you know, making claims for political asylum, many of them legitimate. But at some point, the bad guys, guess what they do?
They turn to be bad again.
Well,
and
they infiltrate.
Do what they do here.
Exactly.
That's right.
They infiltrate the country. They disguise themselves as persecuted Somalis, and they get brought by us over here, established in our country, and then, lo and behold, end up raising up kids like this. Now, I don't know if we found out yet when this kid, he was born in Somalia, but when he actually came here.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he obviously was a Muslim.
He went to junior college, we know for sure. We know he spoke, you know, reasonable English.
Yep.
And so he was pretty much integrated into our society, except for one thing.
Right.
You know, again, how do you...
That one thing.
Right. The one thing that vetting will not stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's educated. They got enough of, I guess, his media, you know, Twitter and all that stuff. They got enough of all that they put together again. He was, you know, tipped to the other side.
And his comment was that he was totally, you know, upset, bothered, whatever you want to call it, about the treatment of Muslims.
Right.
That's what it was all about to him.
He was enraged about that.
Well, exactly. I'm enraged about it too.
Yeah.
The other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Minneapolis St. Paul is the number one largest population of Somalis in our country. When I go through the airport there, I am very cautious, in all honesty, and Linda will vouch for this.
I can understand why.
Because I see people that remind me of what occurred in 1993.
Right.
Okay. And what it reminds me of is I lost six there.
Of the bravest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now the second largest population of Somalis in the United States is Columbus, Ohio.
Right. I don't think there's many on the football team.
Probably not.
Yeah, but
how it was Minneapolis, St. Paul. Now you got Columbus, Ohio.
Where next?
Do you not exactly? Do you, it's going to continue until we decide that we have to vet people and not let this happen? Because I hope none of the 11 have died.
Right.
I know so far, we hadn't heard anything about that.
I think one died.
Did they?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
One died and then
But I mean, we can't let this keep happening.
Yeah.
Our kids can't even go to college without worrying about this.
And it could have been a whole lot worse, except that a brave young police officer was there, evidently had been called because of a gas leak.
Yep.
Yeah.
And showed up, was armed, thank God, had a weapon and knew how to use it and took care of business. And
I mean, they said within 1 minute of him being notified, he took the guy down.
Yep.
I mean, he really does deserve, the biggest, highest award, whatever you can give this kid, because he wasn't caught up in controversy. He wasn't thinking about what would the media say. He was thinking about one thing, save the lives of those people.
Saving lives.
And that's all that matters. Take the guy out.
Right. But he's not going to get the credit due, because there's a big lesson here that the media doesn't want anyone to learn, which, of course, is why we are going to talk about it. And that lesson is This is why we should have armed people at all of our public schools, at all of our schools.
Every one of them.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Everyone.
And shopping malls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to have security people there, they need to be armed and know how to use the weapon. And if you can't get them at your local Wells Fargo security or whatever, then you hire off-duty police officers. And because that is what's going to protect people, not putting a doggone sign on the wall that says gun-free zone. That's an invitation. or to have it be known that the policy is in Orange County, for instance, that there can't be anybody armed on the campus or something like that. Now, I know we have school resource officers, but they need to be everywhere and they need to be armed.
You think many parents would be upset if we had officers armed on campus?
No.
Not any parents.
Oh, you'd get the liberal looney tunes.
Put them on one side of the campus.
Well, let's have one campus.
Yeah, for the those who want to go that way, and
if
then the rest will be
brave enough, let them have the one campus, and they can put all the signs they want on it, right?
Put your safety pin over
but
there.
But for all of the rest of our children, we want them protected. Thank you very much.
Well, the school resource officer problem that I have personally observed going to school, there's one.
Right.
One. How is one going to fight five? Okay. And to say that no teachers should be allowed to support and carry guns, I totally disagree with that too, because I believe they should be trained, a group of them, very well trained teachers, man, woman, I don't care, that are capable of supporting that one school resource officer that has got 800 kids that he's trying to take care of.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that's a very good idea. And I mean, you could supplement him a little bit of money to have him train to make sure he's very good at when handling a gun and shooting accuracy. Bang, guy goes down.
That should actually be that's what it means to be an American.
That's right.
Is to know your way around a gun.
Yeah.
Know something about a weapon, not be afraid of it.
Yeah.
You understand? And yet the liberals, they don't want to touch it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to have anything to do with it because they're scared of it. Right. And yet they'll get behind the wheel of their car and drive down the road at 70 miles an hour texting on the doggone telephone, right?
Yeah. And see, what people seem to think that the bad guys, okay, how are they getting their hands on guns by going to a gun shop and getting them? They're not. They go to the trunk of a bad guy who's got 27 weapons in there for them to pick from. And that's where they get their guns from most of the time. They don't go to Walmart's, gun shop. They don't go to other gun shop. They go to where it's illegal because they're illegal and can't get a gun.
That's true. That's true. But in essence, wasn't it the Colt 45 that they called it back in the 1800s?
Won the West.
They called it the Great Equalizer or the Peacemaker or something like that. And the reason being is that when people, it doesn't matter if the bad guys have guns, if the good guys have guns, right? It's the equalizer. And believe me, the criminal mindset is a calculating mindset. They're looking and calculating, where can I find an opportunity? Right? And they always look for the weak, victim.
They do.
And if you are weak, they're going to find you. But if you are not weak, and if they find you, they're going to regret it. All right?
Chris, there was a news item today also. There's a group called the Muslims of America. It's an Islamic group with secret compounds around the U.S. who said they are now arming up in anticipation of raids.
Do you want
them out there and you people aren't even aware of it?
Yeah, and that's what the kid at Ohio State just did. That was his kind of statement.
Right.
Okay? Not being fair to Muslims. And he took offense to that.
Yeah, and more is to come. And it doesn't matter who the president is. This one's going to have to deal with it for a couple more months. Well, actually, he doesn't really deal with it. But the next president will be dealing with it. But nonetheless, they're going to try to inflict pain upon us. And I like, a buddy of mine's got a saying, it kind of rings true to me anyway. He says, I don't want my last thought to be, I wish I had a gun.
Yeah.
Right? Don't let your last thought be, you wish you had a gun. All right? No one, get one and know how to use it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about We'll talk more about the situation with terrorism here. And we'll also talk about the sudden Sam McDowell celebrity golf tournament, because right. It's for a great cause to try to help end veteran homelessness.
Plus, Joe West is going to appear. Joe West is the number one umpire in baseball.
Is he going to throw anybody out of the tournament?
He may. You know, we'll watch how you hit the ball, Chris. You might be first out. You know?
When I met him with you at the golf tournament, I thought he was going to throw me out.
Now, this guy is a real character, and actually, he finally retired, and I think he was the longest umpire behind home plate in baseball history, and he threw out more players than anybody. But I know for a fact he should be playing.
And he called one of the World Series games in October. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. I hope you'll be with us.
I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014. All caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. And remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
Rush hour is at its peak right now on I-4 eastbound. You're heavy from Sand Lake Road to the Turnpike, then heavy John Young Parkway up to Maitland for 30 minutes plus. 436 to Lake Mary slow and heavy 417 to the bridge. On the westbound side, Fairbanks to Michigan brake lights. John Young Parkway to the Turnpike slow. Beach line to 535 and past 192. It's still a heavy ride on 436 from Red Bug Lake Road down to the airport. And on the 408 eastbound, John Young Parkway to I-4 heavy and Conway to 417 is slow. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660.
Victory we predict for thee, ever true to you, dear old white and blue. Onward state, onward state. Roar, Lions, roar. Hit that line, roll up the score. Victory forevermore. Fight on. Fight on stay. Now, how many people out there know their fight song for the university?
I got to admit, I don't know you.
See? I mean, now you could tell the people who enjoyed their school, they would know the fight song. And they love
but if you do that again, Mike, you need some backup, okay?
I know the fight song for FSU.
What is it? Well, that's because they couldn't remember the words.
As long as it distracts the bad guys, we're okay.
All right. Well, you may have a cool fight song, but they got the guy with the spear.
The only one.
Yes, yeah. Is Burt Reynolds still doing that, or is he alive now?
Yeah, he's still alive.
He was there not this year, but a year ago. I think it was a year ago.
Right.
Burt doesn't look good.
Yeah, so he didn't even have the energy to put the spear in the ground?
He's crippled up.
He did, but they really had to help him do it.
Yeah.
And it was
really
a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Yeah. He's crippled up.
He had tremendous impact at Florida State.
Oh, he helped build. And what was that other star, Bob Eckler? Or what was that guy? He also contributed great money to Florida State. Bob something. He was another TV star and stuff. You know.
All right.
Which is good for them.
Okay, speaking of celebrities, you have the opportunity to play golf with some celebrities, and this is the Sudden Sam McDowell Celebrity Golf Tournament. It's going to be December the 9th and the 10th, actually the 9th, which is a Friday. That's going to be the pairing party that evening.
It's always a little bit of fun.
Yeah, and that's going to be at the Legacy Grill at the Orange Lake Country Club. Beautiful place out there. And then the following day, the 10th, Saturday, is going to be the golf outing itself on the Orange Lake course. And the breakfast is going to be at 8.
Right.
The tournament starts at 9, and you'll get lunch and stuff. And the price that we're going to give you pays for everything, both Friday night and Saturday, food, drinks, the whole nine yards. And
it's $75 for a veteran.
If you're a veteran.
And remember this, even if you went to call them up tomorrow, you're going to pay $75 to play tomorrow, the next day, whatever. So in essence, there is no...
That's just to play golf.
So there is no premium in the tournament. So you get all these other benefits. You'll really have some, I'm going to say very candidly, good laughs with some of these individuals that are going to be out there.
Yeah.
And this isn't going to be any giant tournament. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And they'll also, if you're a non-vet, then it's $100. And
mentioned the American Adversaries.
And Chris, you're playing in this. I'm looking forward to you and your foursome, you know.
Yes,
and
I may not be looking forward to it so much.
Now, remember, Chris, there is a time limit on each hole, like 12, 13 minutes. You pick the ball up, and then you move it.
I'll step up there and whack at it.
What's the date on that again? I forgot.
December the 9th
and 10th. That is, Danny, you're out because I asked about that.
Yeah, I thought so.
Once again, if you mention the American Adversaries, you'll get a discount. The regular price, and you can pay this if you choose to do so, but please mention the American Adversaries. You heard it on the show. It's $125.
And the phone number?
Call Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334. Call Charlie at 850-259-6334. Or if you didn't get that phone number, just call the call-in number right here at the station, and we'll give the information to Charlie. And he's going to be on the show with us Thursday.
I know. And ask Chris to be in your foursome.
If you don't. Welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, the show that you tune in to get the things that you don't hear anywhere else. And boy, you'll get those here, that's for sure. All right, you got us here. We're live until 7 o'clock, and then stick around for Larry Elder. He does a great show. I love listening to him as I'm on the drive home and when I get home. He'll come up right after us at 7 o'clock. But in the meantime, you can be a part of the show, too. Just give us a call at 407-774-8255 as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. Have Michael McBath in the studio today. He's sporting red, but thinking blue. And we,
hey, Chris, thank you very much. But I mean, as I mentioned earlier, when we opened up at 5 o'clock, it was a great weekend. Penn State won a big game. We go to the Big Ten Championship. The Bills are still alive. They're 6-5.
Yeah.
And Kaepernick got wiped out in a very important play after he made those comments about how he loved Cuba and everything, and Castro dies like 2 days later, and then he's trying to cross the goal line to win the game. And that's an amazing story, though.
The
fellow that tackled him was the son of a Cuban immigrant. Is that unbelievable?
And it saved the game and caused the San Francisco to be
1-10 it's like,
now.
This is insane that could happen. You know,
It is beautiful. And there's something else interesting happening in San Francisco we're going to talk about during this hour of the show, too, that was detected by the European Union.
Right.
Yeah. It's an interesting story, so stick around for that. Colonel Danny McKnight is in the studio with us tonight. It's always great to have Colonel McKnight in the studio. And by the way, folks, he's the author of if it were up to me and I was a high school teacher, everybody in my class would have to read this book and write a report on it. It's called The Streets of Mogadishu. And it's a book, if you will, in two parts. It's a book about leadership and the hazards of political correctness. And then it's also an account of the mission in Somalia in 1993. The one that Bill Clinton stepped all over. What I mean by that is he sent our military down there ill-equipped, and then he pulled them out even at that before he allowed them to complete the mission. And in the meantime, of course, a number of our brave, finest Americans were killed there. And then we turn around and we start importing Somalis into this country. And lo and behold, one of them yesterday ends up trying to kill a lot of people. And in the name of an ideology that is sold as a religion, there may be religion, people who practice it as a religion, but at its root core, it is an ideology that seeks world dominance. And we have been ignoring that with this president, just like we did with Bill Clinton. And to a much lesser extent, but I must say to some extent also with George W. Bush, that nobody has ever really wanted to face the enemy in its true form. Colonel, is it fair to say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we've seen happen more than we should in the past 20 years.
You know, I'd go back even further than that. I'd say the last time that we really, really looked at the enemy as the enemy that needed to be vanquished was in World War II.
Exactly. Nope. You're on the money. Exactly right. I totally agree with that.
I mean, that was the last war we fought to really win in a decisive victory and did not settle for anything less.
That's right.
Exactly. And look what happened. We restored Europe, at least Western Europe, and now Eastern Europe, too, by the way, and Japan and the Far East. And they're now some of our best allies. And let's look at the other situations where we pulled out. Korea. What's going on in Korea?
They got a really bad guy on the north side, and the south side is really worried every day.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
And the bad
to.
Guy now has nuclear weapons,
yep.
And the means to deliver them pretty soon
sure.
anywhere in the world,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? Let's look more recently. Afghanistan. We were just talking about Afghanistan.
Right.
That is now the longest war by far that we've ever been involved in. Mm-hmm. And it's because we don't fight it to win it.
No, we don't. Exactly. And I don't understand why our country doesn't almost revolt about that, because why should we be fighting except to win? And so if you're not going to fight to win, stay at home. You know, I mean, that's the only other option.
Right.
And you're right, we are not doing enough to fight to win in something so that we can be at home.
Right.
You know? And we haven't done that.
Well, I would say that we did just undergo a revolt of sorts.
Yeah, the election.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have put in a new guy who is promising to do this the right way.
Yeah.
And he's starting out the right way by picking the right people to be around him. As you said earlier, I believe it was off the air, but you said something to the effect that Trump knows that.
He knows nothing about the military. And so if you've already looked at what he's doing in terms of some people already that he has decided on, he knows he doesn't know that, and he's going to surround him with the people that do know it, and then they will recommend to him, this is what we need to do. And I'm pretty sure he's smart enough that if they recommend it, he's going to say yes.
In fact, I believe he's going to be soliciting from them the recommendations.
Exactly.
And review them and say, okay, let's get her done.
And it's been just the opposite for the almost last 8 years.
Right.
There was no soliciting. There was no listening to. It was one way and one way only, and he thought he knew it because that's the reason we have aircraft that are in mothballs. We have ships that are
dry docked
under plastic wrap is what I call them.
Yeah.
And that's why, because he made those decisions, and that has been a tremendous detriment to our military.
Yeah. And then finally, now today, in the last few hours, they have announced that he is willing now to let the special ops people do what they do pretty much at their discretion. Which is a step in the right direction, but it's a pretty small step, if you ask me.
Doesn't it look like a bailout? The guy's giving up.
That's exactly what it is. It's now, I'm going to let them go do.
Yeah, I'm going to go play golf.
By the way, the special ops are great people. They're the best. They're the finest of the finest. Colonel McKnight, Special Ops, Ranger Battalion, Commander. But they can't win a war.
No.
They can help win a war. They can play a major role in winning the war, but by themselves, they cannot do it. This is just the same old, with a new announcement is all it is.
He's trying to appease somebody. But I promise him, if he thinks he's appeasing the military, he's out of his mind, because they are not appeased by what he's doing saying that. They were so disgruntled about what he didn't do for seven years, much less this little bit now.
Well, he is appeasing somebody, all right,
exactly.
The enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are taking advantage of it.
And the other thing is, why did he announce that anyway?
Hey, bad guys,
be prepared. The special operations community come after any of y'all. Well, my Lord. He did it again, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is something that Trump talked about, obviously, during the campaign. He talked about it repeatedly.
Danny, you say, like, well, we're sending 125 troops. Oh, great. We'll prepare for them.
Yeah, we're ready for them.
This is insane. The whole thing this guy did made no sense at all.
Yeah, they could have made an announcement without...
telling you how many troops. Let them think it's 10,000 troops coming.
Let them go do their thing and then announce it afterwards. Yeah. When they've been successful and say, by the way, this is what we have chosen to do now.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
No, not him. No, right. He's going to let the enemy know we're coming.
Yeah.
Idiot.
I couldn't have put it any better myself. Diane is calling. She's on the line. Diane, thank you so much for calling tonight. We appreciate you so much.
Hey, guys. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
It was. Very thank good. You very much. Same
and,
to you.
Colonel, it's a pleasure, and I'm in awe of you. You're amazing.
Thank you.
I just want to remind everybody that do you know about the Wreaths Across America?
Wreaths Across America, this is to put Christmas
on all the military graves?
For Christmas, exactly, for celebration of Christ.
So and if everybody would go online and maybe do a contribution and or
volunteer.
50,000 volunteers.
Right.
It's just awesome, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, they want to do these for veterans all across the country. And we, of course, have a number of veterans that are resting here in Central Florida. There is a veterans cemetery in Bushnell.
Bushnell, exactly. Yeah. That's where one of my guys is buried, Sergeant Aaron Weaver.
Is he?
He was Sergeant Aaron Weaver with me in Somalia, was a warrant officer later, got shot down in a medical helicopter. Mm-hmm. Long story, but that's where he's buried.
One of your guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Diane. We appreciate that. And, the Wreaths Across America. You can find it easily. Google it, and we'll find out more information.
Beautiful website.
Yeah, we'll find out more information and pass that website and such on to you.
And I think that Trump should pick Bolton and not Romney.
By the way, it's dinner time at Trump Towers.
Right.
They're drinking over this now.
Well, no, they're not. I don't believe either one.
No, that's right. They don't
I'm
drink.
Not sure about Romney. I don't think he drinks
no,
much.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think he did either, but I know Trump does not. They may be may have him prune juice mm-hmm. or something, but I don't think they're drinking any alcoholic beverages. I agree. I think Bolton would be the guy because he's smart as the...
He's aggressive, too, which I like. Yeah.
He's America first.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump is all about. And so I don't know what the deal is with this dance with Romney, what exactly is going on there. I can see Romney perhaps as head of the Department of Veterans Affairs. I mean, he turned around the Olympics. Certainly that department mm-hmm. needs to be turned around.
Yes, it does.
But Secretary of State? I don't know. So I agree with you on that one, Diane. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being out there.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much. Colonel, the next time you're going to be with us is going to be here in a couple of weeks in December.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you're going to take a special trip. Can you mm-hmm. tell us a little about it?
Yeah, I'm going to fly on December the 6th to Honolulu, and on December the 7th, our 75th anniversary of
Pearl Harbor,
of course.
Yeah,
I will be sitting there during that ceremony. I was just informed the other day, 2 days ago, that I actually got a VIP seat to be there, and
that's,
I'm thrilled
right.
about it
yeah.
because the 50th anniversary, I was battalion commander in Hawaii with my infantry battalion there when General Colin Powell spoke at Schofield Barracks and I had my battalion on the parade field, so I've always loved that opportunity, and now I get this opportunity, and I'm actually not going just for that. The Marines are going to do an exercise sort of tailored around what we did in Mogadishu, so they've asked me to come observe, critique, and everything, you know. So that was from the last trip I made a while back in August. And so I'll go in for that exercise. And when they said, yeah, if you get here on the 8th and then we'll start, I said, well, what about if I get there on the 6th? They said, well, you need to get here on the 6th. I said, so I can be at Pearl Harbor. They said, oh, okay. And it's all turned out. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited about going over there. Get there late on afternoon of the 6th and the 7th. I'm going to be sitting at the ceremony on the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor.
75th.
And it just I can't even put it into words what it means to me. My dad was in the Navy in World War II, you know, so that means a lot to me to be able to be there.
Yeah.
And I've already, you know, as I shared with you guys, I'm looking for the 100th anniversary, and that's going to be when I'm 90 years old. I plan on being there, though.
I hear that.
I might need a wheelchair or somebody to push, but you know what? I really want – that's my shot. I want to say this 50, 75, 90, and 100th, I'll get all of them.
You know, it's amazing. My, my wife's father was in Pearl Harbor at the time, but he was downtown, you know, when they were coming in. And there's like nothing he can do. He's over here, and they're all coming down into the one area. But they just let that, like, what is this? And they actually initially, as you know, they weren't even sure what it was.
They weren't. I've told the audience, I guess, a couple of times on the show about my Uncle Gordon, one of my father's brothers. He had been in the Navy and was out, but had gotten a job for one of the oil companies down there, not too far from where they had the big oil storage tanks down there. And so they were there at the office that morning, and the Japanese started bombing. And they actually bombed the office building, but they didn't bomb the oil storage tanks. They actually could have left all of the ships alone, not bombed a single ship, and just bombed the oil storage tanks, and they would have crippled the fleet. We would have had no way to fuel the fleet.
We
would have had battleships that could fire guns, but they couldn't go anywhere. And the same with the aircraft carriers. We would have been rendered motionless in the Pacific Ocean.
And on the other side of the harbor also was everything they needed to repair ships. And they didn't touch it either.
Right.
They didn't touch it. They left everything over there alone, which really ended up to be their undoing.
Which is why we could get the Yorktown in and out of there within like 3 days and get it back out for Midway.
Exactly.
But my Uncle Gordon was in. They were in the office that morning. I think there was three or four of them in there when the bombing started. And they soon realized they were under attack. And they were running out to try to go find shelter. Smart enough to get out of the building, because sure enough, the building got bombed.
Right.
And one of the guys got killed in the building. My uncle was actually, I think, already out, but he ended up getting shrapnel. He caught shrapnel in his left arm and shoulder. And the reason I remember so distinctly is because the rest of his life, his left arm was paralyzed. He could not use his hand. And so the doctors came in and basically asked him, okay, your arm's going to be paralyzed. You're going to be carrying around this shrapnel the rest of your life. How do you want your arm set? And he said, just make it so I can drive a car and smoke a cigar, and I'll be okay. And so they put his elbow basically at a 90-degree angle, and kind of made his if you made a peace sign and then kind of crooked your fingers over a little bit so you could hook a steering wheel and stick a cigar in between them, and he was happy. And then the rest of his life, he carried that shrapnel.
The reason we call them the greatest generation ever.
I know, time you see these movies and what these people did and how they lived, I mean, you talk about just heroes of all heroes. And then we have our youth in safe spaces, right?
Yeah.
They wear what is a clothing pin now to let them know that they're a safe harbor.
But
isn't that sweet?
And I'll say this, you know, and Roosevelt was a progressive. He was as liberal as the day is long, but at least he let the military win that war.
That's right.
And he knew it had to be won. He couldn't play around with this business. And lo and behold, that's the kind of mentality we need to get back to. And I think we have.
And he did it by letting the generals run the war.
Right. That's right.
No political correctness to it. let them run the war. They did it, and boy, did they do it well.
They had one task, and that was to win.
That's right.
And as a matter of fact, the OAS, the predecessor of the CIA, had one rule, and that was to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to get back to.
Yeah,
I mean, you just see the fighting capability of the American people elected Trump. America wants to win. America is not to lay down like the Obama group wanted this to do. And, I mean, that's why we're going to see a wonderful period coming up.
I believe you're right.
We've tried to fight, you know, and I wish we never had to fight a war again. But we know that's not going to be the way it is.
That's not human
nature.
We've
been fighting a war for a long time now already, and people don't even realize that. But, you know, war is not kind and gentle.
No.
You have to make the commitment that we are going to win this at all cost, and we're going to do it. We did that with the Japanese.
Yeah.
We ended that one.
With the Germans.
And we did it with the Germans, and we ended that one. And we ended it the way we wanted to end it, not the way they wanted to end it. And why can't we understand that's what you have to do if you're going to put people in combat? Let them go fight to win. And we haven't done that enough in the last 8 years.
No, because the argument has not been effectively made that that is the only humane way to fight a war. What we are doing in Afghanistan, what we did in Iraq, is not humane, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're mistreating our soldiers because we're not letting them fight to win.
That's right.
And we're prolonging the suffering for the other side,
mm-hmm.
right? And for ourselves in the process. So it is not humane to fight a war with total victory not being the sole goal. If we do not have that in mind, we do not have any business being there, is the bottom line. But the military will go when called, and that's what makes them so great.
Exactly right.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about championship college football. Coming to O-Town.
Now, do you want to sing?
We're going to remind you why.
Chris, you want to sing your fight song? Fight on Knights. I don't know what it is.
UCF, go Knights.
The Fighting Knights.
All right. They will be in a bowl game themselves.
No, I think they will. I'll be looking forward to who they play.
Yeah, they say you get 6 victories, you go to a bowl game, right? All right. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. Please stay with us.
If you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepherd. Jerry and his wife, Jana, own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S, Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Pretty scary, Danny. I mean, if we're coming into your stadium, the lights were out, so I'd be afraid I'd get hit by an arrow or something.
I tell you, when the whole stadium gets to chanting that, it's. I mean, you just don't. There's nothing like college football.
Is the best. I mean, as I say, having experienced both, to me, I'll take college games any day of the week because the crowd is absolutely excited. It's their school. It represents them. And just the atmosphere, you know, everybody's, you know, high quality, first class.
You know what else is wonderful?
And I think it's very unpredictable, college football is compared to pro football.
You got it.
I was just getting ready to say, sometimes in college football, the football teams score more points than the basketball teams.
Oh, I know. We saw that with Navy this week, right?
Yeah, 75.
Yeah.
But it's so unpredictable in college, and that's what I love about it.
ACC college football is coming to O-Town this weekend, which is kind of cool, but the reason why they're here is very uncool.
It's not cool, right.
So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll also remind you of our contest rules for Thursday night. And tell you about the I got an idea for a contest. Are there any UCF alumni out there who
know their fight song? We're trying. I know. Please identify yourself.
You know? Give us a call. Sing it out. We want to hear it. 407-774-8255 is the number. Welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
Chris, I have one concern, though, about UCF.
What's that?
A serious concern, too, is he's done such a good job. If next year he goes 9-3 or 10-2, bye-bye.
Talk about the new coach,
yep,
Frost.
Because he has all the right credentials. You know, he's been brought up the right way. He was super effective at Oregon. He leaves Oregon. Oregon folds, which really looks bad.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. I hope the Oregon's not considering calling him now. I think he's a little premature for a big-time school. But, I mean, he has done a terrific job relative to
the learned a lot from his football coach, too.
Yeah.
At University of Nebraska, I do believe.
And
Tom Osborne?
Mm-hmm.
Osborne. Yeah. And, you know, the kid played like 5 years pro ball. Mm-hmm. He played in the big-time program. He's an articulate guy, obviously a personality guy. He's all you want as a head coach at a big school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he needs about one or two more years of seasoning, and then the big money's sitting there.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll
that is Mike McBath, indeed, the demented mind who comes up with our contest rules. We also have Colonel Danny McKnight in the studio. And by the way, I mentioned his book earlier, Streets of Mogadishu. And I'm sorry I failed to tell you how to get a copy. And I do recommend, especially for younger people, but really for everyone, you should read this book. And you can get it at his website, DannyMcKnight.com. That's DannyMcKnight.com. He will autograph it and personalize it for you. And it's, you know, the gift-giving season. And I can't think of a better gift than this book, especially for a younger person in life.
I mean, it's a leadership book. I mean, what do our children need? They need to be leaders. And then I think they need, just to see what goes on in the military because our colleges aren't doing the job. You know, we need outsiders saying, hey, look what's out there. Look what it takes to be a winner. And
exactly.
That's why books like that, everybody should be reading, particularly our youth.
Exactly. And it's an excellent book, Streets of Mogadishu. And once again, you get it at his website, DannyMcKnight.com. All right, college football. Yeah, this weekend, the championship games for the conferences are being played, and one of them is going to be played right here. The Citrus Bowl.
The ACC championship that was supposed to be, I think it was in Charlotte.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
And something happened. Somebody went to the wrong bathroom. And then our good friends in the NCAA, which I still don't understand why the college presidents don't get rid of the NCAA, save all that money, you know, and divided among themselves. I say, you guys don't know how to run a company or something? But you know what happened? Obviously, we know because of the ruling in North Carolina on transgender.
Yeah, you kind of went in a couple of different directions.
Yeah, well,
quickly, the SEC kind of already begun the process of, if you will, withdrawing from the NCAA.
Right.
But the NCAA, of course, being rulemaker for college football, they'll still, you know, have a say. Yeah. But what has happened, let me remind everyone, that North Carolina, of course, passed a law designating that your actual physical gender is what determines which bathroom you can use.
Right.
The physiology does, not what you feel like that day. And the NCAA, and matter of fact, pro basketball and others have pulled championship games out of North Carolina in protest. And the ACC championship game was to be played in Charlotte. And now North Carolina, this is the ACC division, the Atlantic Coast division, okay? Florida State is the only ACC team this far south.
Right. You got a lot of them there. You got Duke. You got North Carolina
State. That's the heart of the ACC.
That's right. That is the heart of the ACC.
Right.
But what I admire is North Carolina never backed off. They said, okay.
It may have cost
a lot of money.
Cost the governor his job up there, too. There is a recount going on there, which, by the way, the liberals are up in arms about a recount in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Republican governor
of
asked
course.
For it, right?
Right.
But it's okay when they ask for it, right? But he was in a tough fight, and part of it was because of this law.
Right.
And, no, they did not back off of it. And so they have paid a price, if you will. We have been, if you want to look at it that way, the beneficiaries of it because we now have this ACC championship game. And, of course, it is being sold to us as, look at all the money that we'll bring into our economy. And it'll bring some in here. I'm wondering, though, if it's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, I'm wondering too. And then the other thing,
Clemson is playing Clemson, yeah. which is a North Carolina team, right?
South Carolina,
but they would have had a huge following. That would have been. I wonder if that big a following. That's not
and they're
that big,
playing big. Virginia Tech,
right? Yes.
And then the other thing is, both these teams are going to be looking at a big bowl game, no matter who wins or loses. So I just wonder how many other people are going to drive down for this game, which is 1 week later. You know, bowl game, you have a month to prepare, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard if you ever try, you know, getting tickets and making your arrangements. It's very costly. Your flights are, we'll see. I mean, but the NCAA has to stay out of politics. You are a sports organization. Do not dictate politics to the American people.
And that's what they have done. And in essence, that's
they've crossed the line.
What the NFL has done too.
Well, the NFL. Did you see the ratings again this week?
And they're paying
terrible.
Price for it.
I mean, they're threatening to drop Thursday night football.
Their
ratings have just capitulated so much.
Has denied that, but the rumors are going around that they're looking at eliminating that the Thursday night game, because now you have NFL football on three nights of the week,
mm-hmm.
and it you get sort of oversaturation.
Public's tired of how these characters act.
I think it's more
they're really fed up with the Kaepernicks. I mean, and that's why I like Jerry Jones. You know, a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, he is what he is, and he said there's going to be no acting and not saluting the flag on this team. You all stand there, you all salute the flag, and guess what? What is he, 9-1 or something?
10-1.
Yeah. Or 10-1?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I see the 49ers, I would cut the guy so quick he wouldn't know where the door hits him. And you know what? Because the reality of it is this team has collapsed. And you can imagine what goes on in the locker room because it is not a safe zone.
Yeah. But when the coach for the San Francisco, Chip Kelly, says that, well, it's sort of, I can't make him do it. It's sort of his right.
Bull. He's part of a corporation.
That's right. He belongs to the team, and the team makes that decision.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to go by the rules of the team, he can go home wherever that's at. Okay.
And
Chip Kelly, of course, who I met when he was at University of Oregon, and he talked about how he made trips twice to Iraq to visit our troops, and he loved that. And I thought, well, that's great. Then I spoke to the team, and he talked about how during the spring game, the players were in camouflage jerseys, and on the names on the back wasn't their names. It was the name of a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can he be that way and then flip-flop and let Kaepernick do whatever the hell he wants to do? Excuse my language, but that's what he's done.
I believe it probably comes from the owner of the team. And
well, he's in San Francisco.
Well, that is an issue.
No,
right
in all
there.
Seriousness, he's in San Francisco.
It is. You're right.
He's afraid, and you know he has a predominant amount of blacks on the team, and he's probably afraid to make a decision. You know, be it whatever route you want to go.
I don't think it's even a race thing.
No, I don't think it's a race thing. But I think
it's a political thing. That right. it's if anything, he's afraid of the fact that Kaepernick is a Muslim. And
that's probably a bigger fear of his.
I do believe
than
so.
Black Lives Matter and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I believe it's all of this politics comes mm-hmm. into play.
That's the words you're saying, Chris, is the problem.
Exactly.
It's not a political situation.
It's a team.
Right versus
it's,
wrong situation.
Right.
And political correctness has once again got in the way of somebody being willing to make that hard right decision, which Chip Kelly and his owner and them would not make.
Right, exactly.
The other question
and
is,
by the way, that's what he talks about in his book, Streets of Mogadishu.
The other thing is, it's a football team. This is not a, you know, this isn't a social experiment. I am here. I have one goal when I walk out in the field. That's to win the game because you are a professional football player.
Right.
You play for money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and there's no I in team, right?
Yeah, well, let's look at it this way. Let's say that a member of the Carolina Panthers decided to put a sticker of the stars and bars on the side of his helmet just for the opening, mm-hmm. just when he comes out on the field to warm up.
Well, number one, it would be a uniform infraction. I can tell you that right now. He'd be fined right off the bat. Can't do that.
Well, it's sort of the same principle, though, isn't it?
It is because the same principle, but there are uniform infractions. He would get hit with a penalty. I don't think there's any actual rules, unfortunately.
All right, well, let's put it this way. Let's say that that same Carolina Panther, okay, he gets fined, and so he decides not to do that.
Then,
but during the national anthem, he gives the Heil Hitler sign.
I would say, you, the owner, this is an employee of your organization, and is this what you stand for?
That's right.
And that's the whole point
right.
with San Francisco.
Right.
Is you
this
see? Is that the owner does. And
stand
not,
for what Kaepernick's
right,
doing.
Right.
That's,
yep. Exactly. This is not a freedom of speech thing. This is a
right.
workplace thing. If
right.
you think that you can do anything you want, go get you a job at Disney out there and show up in your pickup truck with your stars and bars flying
right.
and see how long you last out at Disney,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They're going to let you go. They don't put up with that nonsense. I don't know what it is now. We'll ask Nick, but it used to be you couldn't even have facial hair to work at Disney. Can you have facial hair to work out there now? Do you remember the...
Yeah. They used to not allow it. Now they allow it if you're not growing it while you're on stage, while you're with cast members. So you have to come in with it.
The bottom line is the employer can set numerous rules for the workplace.
The standards
and
for
the
his
football
team.
Football field is his workplace.
Right.
And so what the NFL has made is a conscious decision to tolerate this, presumably in the name of getting liberal fans to watch NFL football, which is a ludicrous idea because they hate it.
Well, Chris, if the ratings are going down, ESPN's losing all these subscribers. Isn't there a message in here as somebody who's running an economic organization to make a lot of money? My answer to you is he'd be off my team. Sorry.
Exactly.
Because he's no good anyway.
And I think, I think you can take it even further than the team owners. You can take it to the NFL commissioner, Goodell, Roger Goodell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you hear what he said after the day after, was it the day or the day,
right.
second day after Trump got elected?
Right.
He didn't know how he was going to be able to explain to his daughters.
Oh,
how Donald Trump
please.
Was going to be the president of the
then
United States.
That also tells you why Kaepernick goes on and on with this act.
That's what I'm saying.
Goodell won't step in and do what his job is. But if I were
I
the owners.
Pete Rozelle would never allow this.
Right.
He would be the Jerry Jones at the commissioner level. He would say, you stand up during the national anthem or you don't play NFL football. Or you'll pay $5,000 every time you take that knee.
And remember, your advertisers want a certain amount of people viewing the show. And if they're not viewing the show, you've got to reimburse them. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, this is not a trip that I wanted to take on.
Right.
You know, as an owner.
So to sort of bring us back to the beginning here. We got an ACC football championship game going to be played here in our Citrus Bowl, but it is here for all the wrong reasons.
Do you think there's a lot of fans of Virginia Tech here?
No,
I don't think so either.
I don't think they'll make the trip very much.
I don't think they're, I think, and you know, Virginia is not as cold as Minnesota and stuff like that. So they're going to, if they're going to make a trip, they're going to wait till they go to the real bowl game. And I'd be curious about how these ticket sales go. So we, you know, we'll see.
I'll bet the ACC was so hoping when that move was made to come down here, they were hoping that Miami was going to be one of the two in the game.
Without a
doubt. Because they would have got a good draw. And,
of course,
they're on the other side from us. They're on the other side.
I forgot Miami is now in the ACC as well. That's
and they're
right.
On, yeah, they're on the other side. They were probably hoping that Miami could be in there because they would bring people. You're right, Virginia Tech, Mike, ain't going to bring a lot.
I don't think people are coming. Well, I think they're saving their money for the next one.
There's only 72 people there, so, you know, in Virginia Tech, in that area.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
Now, how exciting will the SEC conference game be Alabama playing Florida?
Well, Alabama brings 10 million people every time. So
oh, I know. I mean,
there.
I believe it'll be sold out.
Yeah.
They don't even need the Florida people. I believe it'll be. But how exciting a game do you expect that to be, Danny?
I expect it to be real exciting watching Alabama run up and down the field. You know?
I know. You just love the pain that's going to be inflicted number-wise.
And defensively, did you see the last time somebody scored a touchdown against them? It wasn't in the month of November.
I can't even remember.
It wasn't in the month of November.
Yeah, and Florida hasn't scored any touchdowns, I don't believe, in the month of November.
They scored one against us because I got dropped the punt.
I was going to say it was
otherwise, they
teams.
Had two field goals. You're exactly right.
No offensive scoring. Yeah.
They had that one against LSU because the defensive back went to sleep, and I'm sure Mike would agree with that.
Yeah. I got an idea for the Florida Gators. You take McElwain and you make him the goodwill ambassador, and you take Steve Spurrier and you put him back on the sideline where he belongs, all right?
He's making too much money with commercials now.
That's
what he's doing.
I bet he's still got the itch there somewhere, though, right? Yeah. He's got it.
No, he's probably second-guessing the poor guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He's up every night probably diagramming plays.
So you should have done this.
Because he is back at Florida now.
Yeah,
he's like an advisor.
He's the goodwill ambassador, right?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bring about a whole lot more goodwill if you put him on the sideline, right?
Yep.
All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the Leaning Tower of San Francisco and how it was determined that the doggone thing is leaning.
Oh, my building where I stay is not next door. I'll tell you when the earthquake comes.
All right. Stick around for more of the American Adversaries. That's right, folks. We got the stuff you ain't going to hear nowhere else. I guarantee it.
Support Legal Immigrants for America today as we promote legal immigration all across the USA. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Buy our book, The Bible and Immigration, at golifa.com. That's golifa.com. Support Legal Immigrants for America today at golifa.com and help us impact Congress, the White House, and the nation.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama Cruises from $319 per person. How about an Alaska 7-night cruise from $399 per person? Sandals and Beaches are offering savings up to 65% off. America Waterways has river cruises, onboard credits on special sailing dates. Fathom Cruises, Dominican Republic 2016 cruises from $499 inside cabins and balconies starting at $699 per person. Or how about a cruise to Cuba starting at $799 for 7 nights for Florida residents? Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Thoughts that flash in the calm.
long. Shadows of doubt. No matter how far down you hold them, they just spill out. So I hold tight to the edge of the night. And then I fight on and wait for the light. And I hold fast to the ear and the light.
Show, ladies and gentlemen. That, of course, is the theme music from the movie 13 Hours, which is about the attack, the terrorist attack on our consulate in Benghazi and the heroic efforts of the CIA contractors, guys like Chris Tonto Peranto, to rescue the people in the consulate and save the people at the CIA annex. And
one thing, Chris, you know,
saved a lot of lives, but
when you talk about that, I was thinking about this Ohio State thing, a terrorist thing, right?
Yeah.
But one thing Ohio State did, they tweeted, it was either tweeted out or emailed, you know, that statement, you know, run, hide, worst case, fight.
Right.
Now, can you imagine if that happened in an Ivy League school? Run, hide, cry for your mommy, and wear your safety pin. I mean, but that's a state school versus an Ivy League school. In all seriousness, in other words, it's within the heart of the fighter.
When I heard that statement was made, I thought, pretty good. That's what we have to do. That's what we have
right.
to do.
Take
we
care of yourself. If you can't, you might as well go down fighting.
Yep.
And that I couldn't believe that the school. I thought that was pretty darn good.
And then I reflected back
to an Ivy League school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, wear your safety pin, and then just plead that not to shoot me.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
All right, of course, 13 hours, we did lose four fine Americans, but as we learned earlier in the show, we have lost 12 recently in Afghanistan due to enemy combat activities. Some of them were lost in IED attacks, others in arms fire. And I want to, again, read this prayer request from the VFW. For these fine Marines. It says, we are asking everyone to say a prayer for Dark Horse 3rd Battalion 5th Marines and their families. They are fighting it out in Afghanistan, and they have lost 12 Marines in 4 days. Not the last 4 days, but this was recently, I believe the weekend before Thanksgiving weekend. So please say a prayer for them. And while you're at it, pray for all of our fallen heroes and our living heroes as well, because our military supports our way of life. Without them, everything rests on their shoulders. Literally, everything does.
And the ages of those 12, as we talked about, it just should tell people that we have young men and young women that are willing to go do what they do, because we had three that were 21 years old.
Three at 21?
Three
at 23?
Mm-hmm.
One at 26, two at 27, and two at 29.
From 21 to 29.
Yeah, fine, beautiful Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And the media doesn't even want you to know anything about them.
No.
So please do pray for them tonight. A couple of more pieces of business. The Tower of San Francisco, one of the tallest structures on the West Coast, is sinking. It's sinking. The engineers had already detected some quote-unquote movement in the building, cracks in the foundation.
There's going to be movement by the renters inside the building, I can tell you that, real soon.
The European Union has a satellite, which evidently is observing us enough to know that this tower has sunk 16 inches and is leaning 2 inches to one side. And
I mean, when
this
you
is
see
about
the,
an 80-story building.
Yeah, I know. When you see the picture of the building, it's really horrifying. I just wonder, like, how far can it lean before it's too far?
Well, according to the engineers, these right. are the engineers that approved its construction and everything.
Yeah,
it's
Slippery
okay.
Mancini, the Italian.
It's okay. It's not going to fall over, and it can't
yeah,
withstand
we've heard
an
that
earthquake.
Before.
Now,
uh-huh.
these are the same guys who built the thing, right?
Yeah, and they'll say, it's okay.
No,
it's not.
And it is built on a landfill. Now, a good part of San Francisco is a landfill, so right. Much of the finest real estate there, as a matter of fact, is built on landfill.
Do you think the engineers, though, have their office inside that building?
I kind of doubt
it. If you start seeing them leave, do you think I'm out?
Or at least move their furniture from the top floor to the bottom floor.
I'm here yesterday, buddy.
Yeah. But evidently, they did not sink the pilings through to the bedrock. Because there's bedrock underneath, right?
Yeah.
And evidently they didn't go far enough down, and the building is leaning. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly new building. It's I don't even think it's 20 years old, I mean, which is new in terms of that type of construction. And
but I just wonder, what is the response to this? I mean, you know, safety-wise. I'd be here. I don't know.
Get a bunch of guys with jacks, I guess. I don't know. There's not much you can do is the problem. And that, other than disassemble the building and start all over.
Yeah, or drop rents in half.
It's more or less like building a house here in Florida on a sinkhole or an area that is prone to sinkholes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And once, I mean, once the foundation goes, what do you do? Everything is built on the foundation, right? Mm-hmm. Which is one thing why we stressed that we needed to elect Donald Trump to save the foundation of this here nation. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we have done that.
Now, that's a sanctuary city, right?
It is. Yes.
There might be a place for some of these people that are in that city that are of a criminal nature, right?
Maybe.
To house them.
Yeah, it put them next to the building on the side that it's leaning towards.
You know, we got a new home for you people.
Okay. Don't forget, please, the Sudden Sam McDowell Celebrity Golf Tournament, December the 9th and 10th. Call Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334 to get involved. And it's a great price, $75 if you're a vet and mention the American Adversaries, $100 if you're not a vet and mention the American Adversaries. That pays for the Friday night pairing party on December the 9th and breakfast and the golf outing and food and drinks
and everything.
It's
Orange County Lake, which
December
is a
9th
beautiful
and 10th.
Course
not
out
Orange
there.
County Lake, Orange Lake.
Lake.
Country Club and Golf Course, which is
a resort. It's a timeshare resort, which is a fabulous course.
It's beautiful down there. It is really the state-of-the-art stuff.
And, Chris, you'll be out there. I'm not going to say you'll be playing. You'll be out there, even though you'll have clubs and stuff.
I will be playing at playing.
I want to make sure that I'm in front of his foursome, not behind it.
I don't know. You might not want to be in front of me.
Because I'll be drinking heavy if I'm behind it.
850-259-6334, Charlie Hagee. He'll be on the show with us Thursday night. And if you didn't get that number, just call us here and we'll pass the information on. And don't forget our contest Thursday, real quick, the rules again.
I think this is very appropriate. What we're concerned about is Brockster's future. We would like to get your feeling where you believe Brockster, Michelle, and Masha, or
their daughters
will
be in 10 years.
10 years.
Right.
And, we'll be talking about that Thursday night because we all have our opinions where each of these parties will be. And
I won't be here Thursday night, Mike, so I had to give you my
Okay, now
already.
Give me, where do you think they'll be?
I told you, Brock's still going to be in Hawaii hunting his dead burn birth certificate. So
I love
know where
that
he's going to be, okay?
All right.
And I know where Michelle's going to be.
Where is she?
She's going to be down in the island somewhere trying to find a trainer that can help her look like a real woman instead of whatever she looks like now.
And how about Sasha?
You and Joan Rivers, right? All right, that's Thursday. And
Danny gets his shots in early.
That's right. Janice and Dino Rentos will be here to help us judge the contest. We might even get Charlie Hagee to help us judge it.
That's all right, Chris.
Rick Brown will be here, too. But we hope you'll be with us tomorrow night. Stick around for Larry Elder. He's coming up next. Night, everybody.